some of our landings were desperate adventures. We are now prepared to meet the inevitable counterattacks with power and with confidence.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
You're listening to Bonfireside Chat. It is a modded favorite.
Yeah. And this week we're talking about a demo, but it's a very meaty demo. This is the demo for Dark Souls Nightfall, which is a mod that right now it's planned to be coming out a little bit later this year. You can play the demo now, though.
Yeah. It's the message from the devs is a lot of it is done. Mm-hmm. But they don't know exactly when it will come out.
Yes.
So they're really far along, but they don't want to commit to anything. They wanted to have it out before Elden Ring.
Mm-hmm.
Did not manage. That's fine.
Yeah.
They released the demo. it's a community project. So this is a mod. This is made by community members.
Mm-hmm.
This is Grimruck is the lead, who is the person who created the Daughters of Ash mod. We covered that last year, mm-hmm. or was it earlier this year?
I think it was last year.
Or it was definitely last year. I was still thinking it was 2021.
Yeah.
But he has a team now. Mm-hmm. Or they have a team. I don't actually know Grimrock. Mm-hmm. They have a team now. So that was a solo effort. This mm-hmm. is a team of 12.
Yes. There's a co-lead, like a project manager, composer, AimTunes, mm-hmm. And a number of other people. The credits are available on the mod site there. Of people that we have talked about in the past, go to our YouTube, mm-hmm. our Souls YouTuber episode. Hear us sing the praises of Zully the Witch. Zully the mm-hmm. Witch kind of came on as a story and character writer and a lore consultant, which was a good choice because the lore in this is real good.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't get tons.
Yeah.
This is something that is you should play.
Mm-hmm.
It only works with Remastered. You can find it on Nexus Mods, and it's really easy to install. You run the program, say like, hey, put this on, and then you run it and say, hey, put this off.
Yeah.
And you're done.
You want to make sure that you're playing offline as well because of the, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
And weirdly enough, currently the servers are off.
I know.
For Dark Souls.
Yeah.
They have been for a while, so that's good, but you want to make sure you're doing it offline regardless.
Yeah. You don't want to be soft mod or soft banned. Yeah. So this is, I think, ambitiously designed to be a direct sequel to Dark Souls, picking up shortly after the Dark Lord ending, kind of addressing something, you know, Dark Souls 2 takes place so distantly in time and in space. Mm-hmm. And then Dark Souls 3 seems to be taking place both like 20 centuries and 20 minutes after Dark Souls 1.
It's even further in the future, but they just... You know, it's Star Trek Next Generation. This reminds me of an old Earth holiday from the 20th century. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah. But like, you know, it's not present in the demo, but if you watch their kind of their big 18-minute mod reveal, you know, it literally you walk and you see the chosen undead kill Gwyn and take mm-hmm. the Dark Lord option, you know, walking out. And, you know, you see them being hailed as the new king, as the age of dark is ushered in.
Yes. Which leads to the end boss being probably the chosen undead,
mm-hmm.
which is something that, I thought would be real cool and talked about in the very first like episode or season of Bonfireside Chat.
Yeah.
And that's not me saying like, I came up with it. I want to see it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of what they did for Dark Souls 3 and it sucked there. I hope it's cool here.
Yes.
You pick up the amulet, left on Gwyn's body. And the, you put the last little bits of cinder of the first flame into it,
mm-hmm.
Here as you kind of go into all Lordran as it's falling into the dark to try to stop it.
Yes.
The full arrival of the Age of Dark.
Yeah. As the creatures of the abyss are starting to slip loose and corrupt things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's neat, for them to, kind of try and take this opportunity to tell a sequel story. that is pointing mm-hmm. in the direction towards beats from like Dark Souls 2 and Dark Souls 3, like, you know, the Sable Church, like iconography yeah. shows up, which is real neat. And while it's fanfic, the stuff that is here is neat enough that I don't think it is going to be embarrassing or dumb, you know, like,
yeah.
And like even Daughters of Ash, there was some stuff there that was like, it's okay, I wouldn't have done that,
yeah.
but it was still like tasteful, you know.
For me, the biggest change or the biggest difference between this and Daughters of Ash is that this seems more interesting to play.
Yeah,
to me, like even if I don't end up going, like eventually I'll play this, I will pay attention to the lore they come up with, mm-hmm. right? Like I'm interested enough to read it. It may not be successful, and it may have that fan fiction kind of angle to it that mm-hmm. can be off-putting.
Yeah.
Even just as a mod that remixes the game, it justifies itself.
Yes.
I would say more than justifies itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a good chance the lore will be cool, but even if that sounds bad to you, and I assure you I get it, it won't matter that much because the wireframe of it is so cool.
Yes. Yeah.
It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. It's pushing the boundaries of what can be done for yeah. a game of this type. It's the kind of thing they do like Total Conversion mods for PC games, originally made on PC, like RPGs and shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's very rare that you see this kind of thing for something that was designed concurrently with console and PC in mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I do not know how they accomplished the things that I see accomplished here. There mm-hmm. are serious mechanical changes, which we'll talk about. The world mm-hmm. map stuff that happens here, you know, connecting environments together that should not be connected together, but in a way that feels natural, you know,
biggest yeah. dumbest grin on my face.
Oh yeah.
Like in the world, like I just playing this and just beaming like the first time that happened.
Yep. Oh my gosh. It's very successful. And like down to like new enemies and bosses. Like there are new assets here. Even returning enemies have new movesets to them
yep.
as well.
With new animations and new everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real neat.
Mm-hmm.
And there are three bosses in this demo and none of them are old bosses,
right?
Like one of them kind of resembles an old boss, like two of them kind of resemble old bosses, but mm-hmm. they're pretty different.
Yeah.
They add a thing to this that I think is actually really clever.
Yes.
Which is this stance system. In your default, you have poise, you can block with your shield and you can use your equivalent of Estus.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go into an animation that I think needs to be tweaked to be a little bit faster,
mm-hmm.
To switch, into, a mode, which allows you double hand your weapon. So it acts kind of as a weapon art, but it also gives you this fast moving warp dodge
mm-hmm.
that dodges a much further distance. You move faster in general, your stamina recharges incredibly quickly,
mm-hmm.
But you can't heal.
Yes.
And this is awesome. One of the things I love about this is that you're presented with that choice at all times. Like, do mm-hmm. I want to be the safe or the speedy, more fragile way?
Mm-hmm.
But when you've used your last assist,
yeah.
there's no reason not to switch into the power mode.
Go ham. Yeah.
Go ham. And that saved me a bunch.
Yeah.
Which I think is the ideal situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know, if they're trying to encourage you to engage with this new movement system, which still feels ridiculous that it's in Dark Souls.
Yes.
One, but they're trying to get you to engage with that, making it something where you have nothing to lose at the end.
Yeah.
To do it, I think is really clever.
Yeah. It kind of making it so that you're always going to reach a time to use it, even if you are risk averse. You know, and mm-hmm. you are clinging to your sword. Additionally, the fact that they have an animator working on this and they have new weapons and stuff means that you have new movesets as well.
Yep.
So, you know, if you are somebody who has primarily used your left triggers for shield stuff, getting down to this point where you are double handing a weapon, experiment with those left triggers because there is super powerful stuff there depending on the weapon. And you know, once I figure that out, things that seemed impossible or, you know, really difficult ended up kind of opening up because like, oh, pressing this will do what would have been a weapon art in Dark yes. Souls 3, you know, multi-move combo, kind of deals or, you know, big reach, kind of attacks, It's neat stuff to explore and play with.
And they integrate them in interesting ways as well, like as part of combos. So like the greatsword that I eventually expect myself to be able to use, hitting L2 just did an attack in super mode, but hitting it twice did the Artorias front flip.
That's so good.
You know, it was really cool. And I was like, oh, like you can get the sword that gives you the Artorias front flip.
Uh-huh.
In, you know, at least in some of the Souls games. But it's not part of a combo. It's like a move you do.
Yeah.
You know, and adding it as part of a combo was really cool.
Yeah. And it's not limited. Like transitioning between the stances doesn't cost anything except time as you slam the humanity sprite, you know, to charge yourself for it. And those special attacks don't draw down on a, you know, like an FP bar, right? The, you know, the focus power bar or whatever it is. So there is nothing stopping you from experimenting.
Yeah, you definitely should experiment. And then the thing that stops you from just spamming them is that they're still moves that have time and recovery. It's still a Dark Souls game.
Yeah.
Instead of bonfires, we have wellsprings. These are little shadow shrines that have the Sword of the Sable Church in them. Mm. And you don't have Estus Flask, you have Umbrus Effigies. You have an option at the menu to kindle that. Do you know what that does? You got in the note that it's hard capped at 5. Can you not kindle it?
I do not know. So I have it in here because I read, I was like on a wiki or on TV Tropes, I forget where, I read that it was going to be hard capped at 5 and other healing was going to be done through consumables, you know, things that you would pick up with the weird Majora's Mask structure that is here. But I do not know if that is based on an earlier concept. Or if kindling does something different, maybe it does do something different because these are wellsprings and not bonfires, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I wonder, kindling could do something different for sure.
Yeah.
Or it could be something that's still in the menu and they're eventually going to patch it out.
Yeah.
Very wisely, you have the bottomless box and all of that stuff just available.
Yes.
There. No NPCs is in the demo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you didn't find the one guy?
Which guy?
For me, he was dressed up like Jeremiah. So there's a tunnel in the first room that you're in that you can go around to the side, and he has like new dialogue. It's there. It's like fully recorded. Yeah.
No, I missed that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. In addition to new healing consumables, there are also other consumables, including a cannonball you throw at people.
Yep.
It's real silly. Yep. But these are using parts of the box in a real neat way. Like instead of firebombs, you get chaos firebombs, so they leave a little lava patch.
Yeah,
you know, like they're clever.
Mm-hmm.
And you alluded to the Majora's Mask limit to this. The way this game works is you have those embers that are in your pendant. They count down. When they go down, you start over with all of your equipment and gear.
Yes,
and levels and stuff. So this is kind of not a roguelike, but like that, you know, Dragon Quarter.
Yeah,
way of doing it.
I can see this being like controversial. Like if you're hearing that and kind of recoiling, you know, that's an understandable kind of reaction. The amount of time that you have is very generous. So to see what happened when it went down, I just kind of left the game running while I did other stuff. It took forever for it to run out. You know, and when it runs out, it automatically, you know, takes you back to the beginning. Resets things. You can use the pendant, you know, to reset things manually, so that you don't have to, you know, so you can start over with a proper amount of time. You have a certain amount of control over this, and like I think this is super cool. They changed it so that boss souls will manipulate the stuff that you have to do over again. The trade-off on this is super interesting to me. So you have got a bottle, and I assume maybe you're going to be able to get more bottles later on as like a really meaningful upgrade. These will hold the souls of the bosses. You know, they're too powerful to hold in their raw form. If the soul is still in the bottle, that boss will not respawn. So that's a way to like walk past it, or if you don't want to, you know, have to fight it again. Or you can offer up that soul at the wellspring to fast travel to where you fought that boss, so that you can jump the curve and get further into the game and basically start at the last boss that you defeated, with kind of the risk and reward, you know, pressing your luck, being like, you want to beat at least one more boss this go around, so that way you're not left with nothing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's neat. Yeah. I'm really curious to see how that plays in the main game.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are a lot of stuff that is going to become a thing, like other features that they have advertised and are kind of hinted at the demo, but we don't know what those are going to be like, and they're not fully featured in the demo. You know, so we'll talk about those more when eventually we cover this whole thing, like after Elden Ring, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is kind of silly. It's a long time away, but
you know, the breaks. It's nice to have plans. So let's get into it. You start out by making your character, and you have all new classes here. The classes, at least here, start you pretty high level, you know, like the average seemed to be like 12 to 15 or so. And it is a pretty good display of like the new gear and stuff that they have here. And they all imply a different, different kind of background. You know, there's one that even is like a rusted version of the fluted armor, whose description talks about a land that was overtaken by fog, you know? So that's a neat little thing here. I started with the Boletaria Knight, but, I did very poorly with it and ended up using the monastery disciple with the pursuers there to you know, make a little bit of progress. What did you end up going with?
Whichever one is the top, the knight that is at the top.
Gotcha.
The rune knight.
Yeah,
the runic knight.
Yeah,
Who's I did. I want to try it with a caster at some point, but I've not done that.
Yeah.
There's little kind of jokes in the beginning of this. One joke is that when you choose your gift, it's just pendant, broken pendant.
That's so good.
Which is very funny.
I wonder if you take the broken pendant and go to the basin, I wonder what you find there.
What happens? Yeah. And then there's also four deprived classes.
Yep.
The destitute, the wretch, the failure, and the fool. Miserable waste of skin.
Yeah, it's so good. You
fucked up little man.
Yeah. Oh man. And you get a short cinematic when you open up the graphic design in this, like the title screen looks real cool.
That was great.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And we get this doesn't show us an awful lot, but we see somebody who kind of appears to be this fire keeper or oracle, or possibly a priestess of the Sable Church, filling the Lord vessel with a dark liquid. We also see kind of a close up on what appears to be like someone with an ornate shield, or like maybe like a really like big stone faceplate or something like that. It is very very obscure what is shown here. Yeah.
It's a cinematic. It doesn't clang.
Right.
You know, it doesn't look like, oh, this looks like an amateur thing done in, you know, Movie Maker.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. Like, no, it looks like a cinematic from a Dark Souls.
Yeah.
In the way you want it to. You appear in where the Lord Vessel was placed. The Lord Vessel is shattered. It gives you your Umbrus effigies.
Yes.
Here. The first thing you can do, and you start with the prismatic bottle as well, and Gwyn's pendant, which has your countdown.
Yes. And it's fun digging into these new items and reading them descriptions, kind of giving you the setup, talking about the countless light devouring phantoms, you know, awaiting the demise, and some are beginning to stir. Setting it up here, and like you step through the door at the far end, and it's not taking you to the kiln of the first flame in one of the bravest moves. Like this might actually possibly be considered cocky. They decide to start this in the worst area of the game.
I thought about that too, as as a mission statement.
Yeah.
There's a weird little bit to this as well. This happens a little bit later, but on your way to the bot, you know, they start you, in the centipede demon.
Yeah.
Section of the demon ruins here. There's a place where you cannot, at least as far as I know, get past a little lava thing to continue without getting hurt.
Yeah.
Which is explicitly an Estus tax, you know, in a way. I don't know if that is philosophically on purpose or meaningful. Mm-hmm. If so, I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah.
Like having to be down one Estus before you fight the first boss as a like, it feels a little tee-hee, fuck you.
Yeah.
If that's the idea. It might just be they couldn't put land there. Like they couldn't geoform it or something.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that. And like it's understandable when you're walking out and you take like a little bit of damage by doing it, by doing a roll, and then you get the tutorial message about using the sprite and doing the dash or what have you.
Yeah.
Like there's a, yeah, you know, like just because of the way the dash works, you can get over that gap in the lava by dashing over it without taking any damage. But there's just a little bit of a, you get a little bit seared, let's say.
Yeah, yeah. It's a weird communication thing. If mm-hmm. that's the idea, is to communicate that.
Yeah.
Tell me about this NPC that I did not find.
Yeah, it's neat. Well, first, if you go around to the left, there's an item. It's just another pendant, which was really funny.
I found the extra pendant.
It's a good troll. Yeah. But if you go to the right, like if you go past the kind of the critical path, it'll take you through to this kind of like little outcropping, and I met a guy who was dressed up as Xanthus King Jeremiah. He appears different in the mod reveal video that they released a couple months mm-hmm. back. So I don't know if that is static or whatnot. I do not know what kind of meaning to impart on the fact that he looks like Xanthus King Jeremiah. But he speaks with a new dialogue. I believe this is a YouTuber providing the VO, and it sounds good. He asks you, you know, what business do you have here in Izalith? Or do you have business here in Izalith? And I say yes. And he says, oh, then you too must sense this animus coming from beneath the dome. And then kind of breaks in and says, you know, I don't mean to step out of line here, but you're really out of your league. He says, even the spiders are scampering. Perhaps you should follow. Yeah. You know, saying like, yeah, this is, you know, it's rough stuff down here. Kind of talking down to you. So it's a brief bit of characterization, but he, you know, has been around here for a while, at least enough to know how dangerous it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the spider thing is letting us know that there's going to be those little spider hollows.
Yeah.
On our way up there. This is the cut content enemy that shows up in every mod.
Mm-hmm.
They're done well here and they have different moves.
Yes.
They have entirely different move sets to them. Enemies move faster than yeah. they used to. This works better with some enemies than others.
Mm-hmm.
The dogs are unbelievably goofy.
Yep.
when they show up, I don't know what they're going to do about that. Like some of the animations just feel sped up and they're real janky.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, you know? Kind of a Benny Hill kind of deal. I got a little bit of that vibe off of the Stone Knights.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't look good moving that fast.
Yes.
I don't know what they'll do about that. But mm-hmm. these things are fun to fight, and the fact that they have totally different moves is really impressive and cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
You climb up and we fight our first boss, the Demon Sage. The way they do this is another little gotcha, because you run towards a bonfire here.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you're running towards it, as you're about to get to this new wellspring, this new bonfire, the fog gate pops up.
Yes. And we are introduced to fighting the Blistering Demon. And yeah. This is cool. So visually, this is closer to the Dark Souls 3 demons than the big dumpy guys, our dumpster demons from Dark Souls 1. Kind of thinner. He has kind of like the tree corruption going on, and he's attacking with like a sensor, like an Izalith sensor hammer here. And mm-hmm. the move set is super cool. It is more interesting than a Dark Souls 1 demon. And mm-hmm. it feels a little bit more kind of dynamic than a Dark Souls 3, by which I mean I don't feel like I'm just kind of being hit out of nowhere by something I can't dodge.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good boss.
It is.
Like it is a good and fun boss. Lots of cool moves. Lots of, you know, he's dangerous, but he's not, you know, the issue with I had with Daughters of Ashes early on, it felt like I was using like a pea shooter.
Yeah. You know,
basically, like the bosses were very deadly to me, but I couldn't find anything that did damage.
Yeah.
You know, this is something where I'm doing damage and it's doing damage.
Yes.
Like I can chunk it kind of. Mm-hmm. It feels like a reasonable number of hits, but also I take a reasonable number of hits.
Yeah. This is a like it feels like a good fight for introducing the benefits of the stances, you know.
Mm hmm.
Yeah, you know, just
this is the time when I on my last Estus, you know, switched to the stance and won, which was a really cool feeling.
Yeah, yeah, And just like the dash distance feel, it feels like it's like it just the perfect match for his combo kind of reach, mm-hmm. you know, kind of deal. He will charge himself up and he'll do, I believe, one of two attacks on the other side of that. He will do a like a big lava belch, kind of like an arcing shot that will do damage and leave behind chaos lava, or he will charge up a very devastating AoE, but he charges it up for a while. So you can get a, you can get a shot in as you're running past him to, you know, to get some distance, you know? And there's a second phase. That's not a second health bar, which is nice. There's a second phase where it, he's permanently charged and he can fire those off, you know, more quickly, but it doesn't feel like it's a, it's another gotcha built into it.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Once you beat him, you grab his soul. I destroyed it so he wouldn't respawn because I didn't know exactly what this meant yet. I hadn't read anything about it.
Yep.
I do like that there are new lore descriptions. So far, it feels very safe.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, like the lore descriptions on the bosses we fight so far do not reveal very much.
Yeah.
You know, and that's fine,
mm-hmm.
right? Like if they don't want to give away their hand too much, it's also would be early in the game, even outside of the demo, assuming the demo starts here.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
the actual game starts here, which we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the we don't learn about this individual guy. We just learn that, you know, even as the Age of Dark is coming on us, the Chaos Fire is burning brighter.
Yeah. So there's, you know, some kind of dynamic at play there. That as the sky darkens, this gets more intense and is probably spitting out weirder stuff. So there's a wellspring, the one that was that teased us before, is here for us, and this is good. This is gonna be our last one for a while. And you can camp out here and make some runs at a Titanite demon down in the tunnel over there.
Yeah, which you should do, because down there towards the right, there is a cool little piece of content thing. Mm-hmm. There was a little tunnel where there were originally going to be one of those worms in the original game. So the tunnel is just blocked over. They brought the tunnel back. Yeah. Like, there's no worm, but there's actual just like new geography you can go through.
Mm-hmm.
It's only a little cave, but it feels cool.
Yeah. There's a pickup at the end of it. I believe this is, the majority of the pickups are like little consumables. Some of these though are just the full sets from the other starting classes. So you can mix and match. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what this is. I think it was my set. I think it's the Runic Knight set.
Yeah, I ended up using that sword.
It's good. And also, I didn't mind fighting the Titanite Demon. Titanite Demon is maybe a little faster, but if so, I didn't really notice.
Yeah, took me a couple tries, but it's a Titanite Demon. It's a fun enemy to fight.
Yeah, I like a Titanite Demon. Mm-hmm. So we're in the undead, or not the undead burg, the demon ruins.
Yes,
you know, down here. We're running into more infested undead, the burrowing rockworms, those things. They pop up, but the change they make is they make giant ones.
Uh-huh. There are multiple different sizes of them, capped off by the gigantic one that is up by where the witch set used to be, or yep. the black gold hem one. Yeah.
Yeah. I was really, what I had a fear going towards that set, cause I was like, oh, are they going to try to make a Ceaseless Discharge, bring that back as a boss where you have to fight him?
Yeah,
I was bummed out by that because I don't like that arena and I don't like Ceaseless Discharge's move sets.
Yeah.
A move set very much, but it does not do that. It just goes this giant rock worm and I just like, whoop, 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 you know, noped out of there and it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. But all of these, the multiple sizes of burrowing rock worms, you know, ultimately they're not very threatening because they, you know, you just, they don't chase you.
Place.
Yeah. You just run away. Yeah. I was caught off guard by the one who, pops out of the stone pillar that you run by on the stairs coming up. Yeah.
Good little, like almost jump scare moment.
Mm-hmm.
I did not fight any of the giant ones. I wonder if you get anything special.
I killed one of them. It didn't drop anything extra special. No.
No. Cool moment though.
Mm-hmm. The stairs leading up to the lava lake, they have several capper demons here. Again, those are fun enemies to fight. I didn't notice much different about their moveset, other than you're fighting a few of them at a time. You know, they're going to pull into each other, which is manageable, but still challenging.
Yeah. on our way to the Ents, the little tree men, from Dark Rooter around here, foreshadowing this way that the lands have converged.
Yeah.
We're gonna run to them as well as, you know, as Capris and such. On our way out there, I'm glad you noticed this. If you look up where Quelaag's domain is, there's new geography up there as well. That's got like, it's like the church that is up there, but it's glowing with this purple light. And I was like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
Like I got to get up there, but you don't, you know, like again, it's all, spacey wacy. So like eventually, yes.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I imagine you're going to work your way down to Blighttown, and that'll be connected to something else in a weird way, but it's a good change. The bell is ringing regularly up here too, as you're kind of here. Something that I could see going a bit too far in one direction, but felt like a nice change of pace here, is that this mod is not afraid of there being large amounts of empty space. They do a good, you know, to me, I appreciated there being time to focus on the changes to the geometry.
Me too.
Yeah.
I like that in general. Like I want, it helps the atmosphere a lot to have spaces where you're not being spammed by enemies.
Yeah.
You know, going through this lake where their rock things would pop up every once in a while, but otherwise there are just a couple ents, was fun and tense, atmospheric. When you get up to the cave up here, the ents are fighting the little egg burden guys that burst open into the maggots.
Yeah.
You know, you get the sense that, you know, everything is united against the chaos at the very least.
Yeah. Well, you know? until you get up to the woods, and then the Ulysseal stuff is fighting against the things that are native there. It's kind of like everything, like the space is merged, but so did the people, but they didn't expect it. And so they're fighting anything that doesn't fit in where it ought to.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope it's not going to go that way in a Final Fantasy VII remastered. Like it knows it's a mod thing meant to be, and it fights it. I will roll my eyes so hard that I lose them.
Yeah.
But you go up this little thing, and you don't get out into Quelaag's domain like you think. You are in the little zone where the frogs are, beneath the stone knights of Darkroot, where there would be beneath the zone where the Moonlight Butterfly usually is.
Yes. Yeah. And your path through Darkroot is going to be the longest one possible here. You're going to be headed up, past the Moonlight, past the locked Artorias Gate, and then down around the basin, and then back up to the forest side of the garden, ultimately headed towards Sif.
Yes. That is the arena for the second boss of this. Mm-hmm. The enemies from Ulysseal are here.
Yeah.
I read this as the Abyss taking over, because this area ends up eventually turning into Ulysseal.
Yeah.
Ulysseal or vice versa, you know? But because the Abyss, that's where the bloated head warriors and the witches come from, is from the Abyss.
Yeah.
So they were coming back, baby. Mm-hmm.
This is our old stomping grounds. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't know exactly what's happening. Either time is compressing or the abyss is leaking. Could be both. Don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll find out. you can get through, this door here. You can get the crest of Artorias.
Can you? Where?
To get through this. Yeah. I don't remember.
Okay.
It might've been in the little side, passage where, isn't it up where the Moonlight Butterfly is?
I went up there. I didn't find it there.
It's either there or the side passage where there's usually the two-headed snake on the tree.
That's
it's
possible.
One or the other.
Yeah.
Like you can definitely get it though.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another bonfire here, in the room where usually you pick up the item and then tons of the ants pop out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be your wellspring for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. If you try to go to the parish, you get the alert that says area is out of reach. And kind of the same if you try and go through the door that'll lead to the bonfire that is by the elevator to Valley of the Drakes. It'll give you that.
Or if you try to go to where Havel is.
Yes. Yeah.
Eventually. Like it just means not in the demo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know. Something that is kind of neat is that, it's most apparent when you get into anything about the basin, like when you're headed down the ridges there, the fog has been lifted. Like, this is not a dark mm-hmm. and misty area you can actually see, making this feel a lot more like an extension of the Valley of the Drakes, actually. Like, it mm-hmm. kind of looks similar. Kind of puts everything in a different light.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. As you head down to where, like, the grass crest shield zone, where there are a bunch of hollows, torch hollows, regular hollows, and bow hollows. Mm-hmm. The archers, the animation looks really Benny Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Them, like, rapid firing the bow and arrow is a little silly.
Yeah.
But they're a threat. Like, this gang of these guys is, you know, almost like a mini boss. Like, you can't just wait in because you will die.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I end up using a lot of my fire bombs.
Yeah.
To take them out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cool. It's a cool encounter here.
It's super interesting as a contrast to fighting those dreglings up on the way to the gargoyle, you know, when they're rushing down the hallway, like fighting them in a super cramped space, obviously, like, okay, yes, that is that is difficult. Fighting them in a super open space is strange as well, because if they're able to come from any direction, and especially the ones that are ranged, the ones with the bows can hit you from any direction, and they can kind of stun you or get, you know, break your animations. It's a big deal. Yeah.
So you head down there. There's nothing where the Hydra was.
Mm-hmm.
You climb back up, or you get the Artorias crest, go through the D&D party zone,
mm-hmm.
Which is full of dogs that are too quick and sorceresses, and get over to the mushroom zone. There are more mushrooms mm-hmm. in that zone. And the cats are back there. They have the moveset and the ability of the boss version of the cats
mm-hmm.
from Daughters of Artorias, where they are cloaked.
Yeah.
Like, they're invisible at a distance, and they can roll in multiple, they can spam their roll attack.
Yeah.
At you.
These ones never rolled at me. The thing that got me, and I was real happy that I managed to get to the wellspring that was over by them. The thing that got me, it was their chomp move. I don't know that I've ever been chomped by them before, but it was
chomp.
It was one hit.
Oh yeah. Oh, he can chomp. At this price point, they chomp. What's cool about these guys too, and is true in general mm-hmm. of the mod, I think, is that enemies do damage to each other.
Yeah.
I was like walking back to a bloodstain, because I sprinted up the ladder and lost my stamina and fell off. Which is one of the funniest things that could happen to you in Dark Souls.
Yep.
And I was going back for that bloodstain, and I ended up leading one of the mushroom dads over here. And the mushroom dad wasn't fighting the cats, but he would try to punch me, and a cat would be in the way, and the cat would just get murked.
Mm.
So they do damage to each other, which is cool. And I think all video games, I think enemies should do damage to each other.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like a cool tactical thing, like go the Doom route.
Yeah. Well, and it's also like super important for this next fight too.
Yeah. Yeah. The mushroom guys, it's worth noting, the mushroom guys can drop humanity,
mm-hmm.
Which you want things that are extra heals for this next fight, which is really tough.
Yes.
There's another wellspring near here. It's in just kind of corner.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes a really short boss run to the Grave of Artorias, which looks different. There are bits of the bone dogs from the catacombs, like mm-hmm. skeletons yeah. littered everywhere. And as you approach that sword, we start hearing howls. It's not Sif, it's multiple wolves.
That moment, again, grinning from ear to ear when I heard multiple.
Yeah. Out of the bosses in this is my least favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's mob
yeah.
tactics. Like, I don't really like fighting multiple things in Souls games, like mm-hmm. in a general sense.
Yeah.
But this is really impressive at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, new assets, so this is the kin of the Black Dragon. These are black wolves that look kind of like Calamite, and they are holding curved swords in their mouths, very similar to what Sif does. These are just
little.
They're little guys. Don't worry, the big one will show up a little bit later. But like, these are bespoke, like these are new character models. Like, this is a new mesh, new animations and stuff. But just a huge amount of like effort went into this, and it's apparent mm-hmm. and it's appreciated.
Yeah. They're very aggressive
mm-hmm.
At you. They all share one health bar, yeah. The kin of the Black Dragon. they're called. They've got Calamite looks to them. But they're very aggressive, and they'll kind of raptor you, like come in from the sides and stuff. And you kill them one at a time. Once you do, you get a little Black Phantom version of them, which is way less aggressive.
Yeah.
This is signaling to you, like, you have to kill all three of them to get to the real boss, but then the orange ones are just kind of an environmental hazard.
Yeah.
Like the Black Phantom versions. You don't really want to kill those because they'll just come back.
Yeah. So you take them out. There's a short beat, and then the real boss shows up. Calamity Wolf Gyra, named after the Black Dragon from the Kingsfield series. So Seath is from the Kingsfield series, and then Gyra was the opposite. Calamite was actually modeled after Gyra. And so there's this like nice little through line between these that makes them feel of a piece. And I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is not just a Sif reskin.
Mm-hmm.
It looks different. Yep. Like it's a different shape and everything. And the moveset is different. It has several of Sif's moves, but not all of them. And even the ones that are similar are tweaked.
Yes.
Quite a bit.
It feels slightly smaller than Sif does as well. Smaller, more agile.
Yeah. Yeah. And enemies hurt each other. So his spin attacks will take out the ghost wolves, which are really good. And then that, you know, takes a while to respawn. So you can concentrate just on Gyra. In addition to these kind of like very similar to Sif, but slightly remixed attacks, you can also do Calamite's breath weapon and the little calamity spell thing where it puts the shining orb in the sky that, levitates you and hurts you.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like again, you know, out of the bosses, it's my least favorite just cause I don't like it. We just talked about Returnal. I don't like fighting one thing and having something hit me in the back.
Yeah.
Just on a real simple level. Uh-huh. Just don't like it that much.
Yeah.
But it's really impressive. Mm-hmm. There are three bosses in this and none of them are just, you know, absolute remixes of soul bosses. Like they're all pretty different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is fun. And again, like it took effort, you know, but I was dealing damage to them every time and I was able to get their patterns. Like this feels very well tuned. You know, so maybe like four tries, probably. Like the first one I got, you know, the real boss showing up was kind of a gotcha, and then the rest was, you know, figuring out how to dispose of the first ones with enough Estus left over to deal with Gyra. Yeah. And then it was, you know, Yahtzee. So
yeah. Once we beat it, we get another like placeholder lore kind of thing. We don't really learn very much about Gyra, just that he's a badass.
Yeah. People fear him.
You know, but what's really cool, you know, I sent you a message. I was like, hey, go save before us, go spend your souls because there's an extra boss here.
Yeah.
There's a sword. If you actually go and touch it, which is what they came down to stop you, in again, just things that, you know, blew me away. Just borrowing effects, I imagine from Priscilla and stuff. The Artorias grave turns, you get teleported to the, like a snow version of it. That's very different. Like it has slightly different geography and stuff and looks completely different. Like, you know, this winter zone.
Yeah. It's implied to be at a different time because it's not a gravestone that is there. It's a statue of a like cloaked figure ringing a bell. I'm sure that is, I can't be sure of anything. It feels like it is pulled from something like from the parish or what have you. But it's an overall different effect, and the music starts up, and we're attacked by this new boss here. Feels like a bonus boss, this frozen saint.
Yeah, which is just a new dude.
Yeah,
but like we got another new dual boss.
Can I get something in a frigid Gwyn?
Yeah, but different posture.
Yeah.
You know, like it's hard to overstate how it's not a reskin of Gwyn.
Yeah.
You know, it's not Lightning Gwyn from Daughters of Ash.
Yes.
You know, it is a new dude with a new moveset. You know, there are little bits of DNA you can spot, like little moves that come from here and there, but it feels very new.
Yeah.
Really cool.
To the point where it's kind of hard to tell who this could be or like what he... You know, like, what is this? Where am I?
No idea.
Yeah.
I'm curious and, you know, we'll find out like when we play the full version. But for now, it's I was happy to have the mystery.
Yeah.
So
attacks with a great sword and has like relatively simple combos, you know, at least at the start there. The thing that made this difficult was he hits very, very hard. Getting the timing down and honestly spending more time in the aggressive stance and utilizing that dodge and eating green moss to keep that just to really supercharge that stamina, the stamina recharge. Was something that got me through this.
Yeah. Yeah. Very tough. It was that kind of tough where like the pattern isn't tough, but just the consequence for failure is very high.
Yes.
Which I don't love, but I eventually got to where I just knew his attacks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he has a second phase. He charges up his sword and it looks a little bit like the Moonlight Sword, but made of ice. Mm-hmm. So the combos are different, but it doesn't last very long.
Yeah.
This is not excessive.
Yeah. Yeah. So neat fight. I am real curious about the implications there. I mean, both for the story, but also for just like if this is the kind of stuff that they're doing, that they can just put in a pretty well-tuned new duel. We're probably going to see more of that. Like each of these bosses does a different trick and demonstrates a competence that makes me just really excited for them to experiment more. So
me too. Like I really want to see how they recontextualize these spaces. It reminds me of like, you know, when we talked about the Demon Souls remaster, like they're holy spaces, so I want to see them again.
Yeah.
You know, these are all places that are really important. So it will just be neat to see somebody fuck with them.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see them fucked with. Mm-hmm. And I was really happy that I felt powerful and cool playing this, not, you know, I cannot find a decent weapon to save my life.
Right.
You know, which is how I felt in Daughters of Ash. Like, it's really exciting.
Yeah.
Recommended if you don't have Dark Souls on PC, like, I don't know what you're waiting for. Like, you should have the entire trilogy on PC and play it that way because there are so many cool mods.
Yeah.
And stuff. Like, dipping into mods has been a really fun part of the show. Mm-hmm. And there's so much awesome work being done there.
Yeah.
Artstones. You know, it's a wealth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
kudos to Grimruck and the team.
Yeah,
you know, great work.
All of you should be real proud. I've been singing this thing's praises. And I can't wait to see more.
Absolutely. So thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate you. You are already a patron. We are going into Elden Ring. We will see you in 2 weeks with our first impressions.
Yeah.
It's gonna be great.
Yeah, we hope that you if you're gonna be playing, that you're able to make room to enjoy it and have some fun. Mm-hmm. And we're looking forward to kind of gathering back here and spending that time. It's a real big moment. This doesn't come around very often. It is a rare time, and I want to make the most of it.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. So thank you for your support.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Next couple weeks.
Yeah.
Umbasa.
And we all pray that we will have far more soon. Mm-hmm.